Introduction. I'd rather be called king than other things I've been called. Richard Petty. A person may not know anything about baseball, but they still likely know the name Babe Ruth. Others may not watch football, but they still likely know who Tom Brady is. And most people have never been to a stock car race, but they've likely heard of Richard Petty, along with his simple but fitting nickname, the King. Of course, there are plenty of reasons why Petty is so legendary, and why the King is more than merely a nickname. The name is an acknowledgement that Richard Petty is quite possibly the greatest driver in the history of stock car racing. And while some may debate that, nobody can argue that he is the winningest driver in the history of National Association of Stock Car Auto Racing sanctioned events. Over the course of 34 years, Petty won 200 races in his career, was the first driver to win the NASCAR Cup Championship 7 times, the others being Dale Earnhardt and Jimmie Johnson, and to date is the only driver to win under different point systems. He won NASCAR's biggest race, the Daytona 500, a record 7 times, and he holds the record for the most wins in a single season, 27 out of 49 races in 1967. Petty holds the record for number of starts from the pole, 127, number of top 10 finishes, over 700, and total starts, 1,184. Such was his standing that he was one of the three drivers, along with Dale Earnhardt and Junior Johnson, inducted into the inaugural class of the NASCAR Hall of Fame in 2010. Petty has famously claimed that he never actually retired, but simply quit driving, and he remains active in the sport well into his 80s as the owner of Richard Petty Motorsports. He is still a frequent sight on race day in his signature cowboy hat and sunglasses, a look that has made him instantly recognizable over many decades. More than any other person, Richard Petty represents the transition of NASCAR stock car racing from a southern regional sport to one with an international following. Richard Petty, the life and legacy of the King of NASCAR, profiles the legendary life and career of NASCAR's most famous driver, both on and off the track. In this audiobook, you will learn about Richard Petty like never before. The starting line. There is no doubt about precisely when folks began racing each other in automobiles. It was the day they built the second automobile, Richard Petty. Richard Lee Petty was born in Level Cross, North Carolina on July 2, 1937, and his family was part of NASCAR almost from the day Bill France Sr. met with a group of drivers and race promoters at the Streamline Hotel in Daytona Beach, Florida in 1948 to form the organization. His father, Lee Petty, was a mechanic, taxi driver, and truck driver in Level Cross, who already enjoyed driving cars fast through the dirt roads of rural North Carolina when Bill France scheduled the first NASCAR-sanctioned Strictly Stock Series race for June 14, 1949, at the Charlotte, North Carolina Fairgrounds. The event featured a 0.75-mile dirt track, and it was a 200-lap race, 150 miles, with a total purse of $5,000. Intrigued, Lee Petty entered the race, driving a 1948 Buick Roadmaster borrowed from a neighbor, on the condition that the prize money would be enough to cover any damage. Richard later recalled, "I listened in on Daddy's half of that conversation when he was on the phone with the guy, Gilmer Good. It was the greatest sales job I've ever heard." 33 cars started the race, with Lee beginning in the ninth starting position. Unfortunately, he rolled the borrowed car on lap 105. Richard, watching the race, remembered, "My first thought was, I hope Daddy is okay. Then my second thought was, oh man, how are we going to get home?" Eventually, they were able to get home, and Richard later told reporter Ryan McGee, "When we got home that night, all I could think about was the future. I was wondering where all this might go, and I was hoping that maybe the Petty family could go along with it. And we did. But first we had to go tell Gilmer Good that we had wrecked his car." Despite rolling the car, Lee Petty finished in 17th place, and while that won him a grand total of $25, he was hooked. There were 8 Strictly Stock Series races in 1949, and Lee Petty raced in 6 of them, finishing with 1 win, 3 finishes in the top 5, and 5 top 5 finishes. He finished the year 2nd in points behind the first NASCAR Strictly Stock champion, Red Byron. Considering there is no evidence Lee Petty participated in an organized stock car race before Charlotte, his performance that first season was nothing short of remarkable. It also established the Petty family as one of the first families of NASCAR, and from 1949 to 1992, a Petty drove in at least one NASCAR Premier Series race. After finishing 2nd in the standings in 1949, Lee Petty continued to race in the Strictly Stock Series, which became the Grand National Series in 1950. From 1949 to 1959, he finished no lower than 4th place in the standings, and he won the Grand National Series Championship in 1954, 1958, and 1959. Not surprisingly, Lee Petty impressed every driver he raced against. Junior Johnson said in an interview, "There wasn't any better driver than Lee Petty in his day. There might have been more colorful drivers, but when it came down to winning the race, he had as much as anyone I've ever seen." Glenn Wood called Lee Petty one of the toughest competitors there was at that time. During this time, Richard and his brother Maurice formed part of the pit crew for their father, and an account of Lee's career described one memorable incident involving Richard. At one race, Petty pulled out of a pit stop before he realized his son Richard was still on the hood wiping off the windshield. Already back on the track, Lee signaled his son to hold on. He did, for dear life, as his father roared around the track once and back into the pits to drop him off. By the time he was 21, and his father had been racing for 9 seasons, Richard decided that it was his turn behind the wheel. The career of arguably the greatest driver in NASCAR history began on July 18, 1958, just 16 days after his birthday, when Richard started in his first Grand National Series race in Toronto. He started 7th, but crashed after 55 laps, finishing 17th and earning $115. Richard raced in 9 of 51 races in the 1958 season, but he recorded only 1 top 10 finish, with an average start of 14.4 and finish of 20.4. His total earnings were $760. A crowded field. If guys don't respect themselves, they don't respect other people. That's times and personalities. And all of them are not that way. But it don't take but one or two to screw up the whole crowd. Richard Petty. 1959 was a historic year, both for stock car racing and the Petty family, as Bill France's dream project opened that year. Drivers had been racing on the wide flat sands of Daytona Beach, Florida since the 1920s, and France had moved to Daytona from Washington, D.C. in 1935 and opened an auto repair shop there. He even raced in the first official sponsored race on the track in 1936, finishing 5th. After the formation of NASCAR, Prince figured it was only sensible to hold an officially sanctioned event in Daytona, and the first officially sanctioned event on Daytona's beach course was a modified division race run on February 15, 1948. From then on, the NASCAR Grand National Division raced on that course for the next 10 years. Lee Petty was declared the winner of the 160-mile race in 1954, after the first-place car driven by Tim Flock was disqualified. By 1953, however, France realized the beach course could no longer accommodate the races, which were increasing in popularity and drawing larger crowds each year. In addition, hotels were being constructed up and down the beaches to accommodate the growing numbers of visitors from the north wanting to escape ice and snow for the Sunshine State. As a result, France proposed building a 2.5-mile asphalt-paved tri-oval he called a super speedway, to be called the Daytona International Speedway. The track would be the largest paved track ever constructed, almost double the size of the 1.3-mile Darlington Raceway in South Carolina, and it would host what would be NASCAR's premier event, a 500-mile race. France began construction of the track on 447 acres, leased from the city of Daytona Beach, adjacent to the Daytona Beach Municipal Airport, on November 25, 1957. And the first race at NASCAR's biggest track, the Daytona 500, was run on February 22, 1959. Both Lee and Richard started that first race. Richard, driving the number 43 for the first time, started the race in sixth, but after only 8 laps, his car lost the engine and he finished in 57th place. Lee had a much more eventful race, and Mark Allman later described the controversial results. It took 3 days to confirm the winner, but NASCAR officials, scanning photographs and movies of the finish, decided that Lee Petty had edged Johnny Beecham by an official margin of victory of 2 feet. The official decision matched the post-race opinion of a fan, who scrambled up the giant Daytona scoreboard to place Petty's number 42 ahead of Beecham's number 73. For the two combatants, the close finish was all a matter of perspective. "I had him by 2 feet," Beecham said. "I glanced over to Lee Petty's car as I crossed the finish line, and I could see his headlights slightly back of my car. It was so close I didn't know how they would call it, but I thought I won." Not surprisingly, Petty's view of the finish was completely the opposite. "I had Beecham by a good 2 feet," Petty said. "In my own mind, I know I won." Early leader Fireball Roberts, who was standing near the finish line, sided with Petty. "There's no doubt about it," he said. "Petty won." By the three-quarter mark, it was clear that the winner would be either Beecham's Thunderbird or Petty's Oldsmobile. The two had broken away from the rest of the field and proceeded to swap the lead over the final 30 laps, trying to protect both engine and tires for the final sprint. Petty took over on lap 197 and led until the white flag. Beecham finally made his move to the front, but felt he had been blocked by Weatherly's lapped car. "I don't think Weatherly did it intentionally, but I was hampered by his blocking at times," Beecham said. "We finally spread out and I found running room." Beecham finally pulled side by side with Petty as the cars passed a back marker in the tri-oval for a 3-wide finish. NASCAR officials stationed at the stripe thought Beecham may have won by 12 inches, but Petty disputed that, claiming he had beaten Beecham to the line by 2 feet. Without a photo finish camera, NASCAR President Bill France decided to delay the determination of the winner until officials could examine photographs and movies of the finish. Either way, Lee Petty would go down in NASCAR history as the first winner of NASCAR's biggest race, and the Petty name would become synonymous with the Daytona 500. 1959 would be a good year for Lee, who, in addition to winning the Daytona 500, won 10 other races that season and was Grand National Champion for the third time. It was his second championship in a row, a mark that would stand still until 1971. Naturally, Richard's year was not as memorable. He started 21 races, but he took home no wins. In fact, he only had 6 top 5 finishes and 9 top 10 finishes on the way to recording DNFs, did not finish in 11 races. Somewhat ironically, the sting of that year was exacerbated by his father Lee. In a convertible division race at Lakewood Speedway in Georgia, Richard thought he had won his first race, but Lee did not think so. Greg Feldman explained, "Richard Petty drove his convertible Oldsmobile under the checkered flag first, but Dad Lee Petty wound up pocketing first-place money in the 150-mile sweepstakes race at Lakewood Speedway. Richard appeared to have won his first big league NASCAR event when he was flagged first in the 150-lapper on the dusty Lakewood Oval. However, the runner-up protested and asked that the scorecards be checked out. The runner-up was Richard's dad, Lee. After an hour, Lee was declared the winner, and he nailed down the $2,200 first prize. Richard got $1,400 for second place. Buck Baker finished third, and Curtis Turner was fourth. Fifth place went to Tom Pistone, who was 2 laps down. the Daytona Beach Morning News reported. Following a friendly father-son dispute, Lee Petty of Randleman, North Carolina, was declared the winner of the 150-mile stock car sweepstakes race yesterday at Lakewood Speedway. At first, Richard Petty, Lee's 21-year-old son, was announced as the winner. However, the elder Petty claimed first place when he rolled into the pits. He said he had lapped Richard twice while the younger Petty was in the pits. A recheck of the cards made it official. That second place was Richard's highest finish that year. And if it wasn't enough proof of how seriously Lee took racing, another anecdote Richard recalled about a race involving them made it clear. Cotton Owens was leading and Daddy was second. They came up on me and I moved over to let them pass. Cotton went on, but Daddy bumped me in the rear and my car went right into the wall. Though he had numerous DNFs, Richard's record was good enough to be named NASCAR's Rookie of the Year for 1959, and he would not have to wait long for his first win. After starting seventh, Richard took the checkered flag in the 200-lap race at South States Fairgrounds in Charlotte in 1960. The Kannapolis Daily Independent reported, Richard Petty of Randleman captured a pair of firsts Sunday at the Charlotte Fairgrounds before a crowd of 7,849 spectators in the opening late-model stock car race of the season in the Carolinas. Wheeling a Plymouth, Petty captured his initial victory in the Grand National Hardtop Circuit and at the same time took over leadership in the 1960 point chase. The 23-year-old speedster gunned his mount into the lead 18 laps from the finish and held on to replace Bobby Johns of Miami, Florida, as the 1960 points leader. The 200 points gave Petty a 22-point lead over Junior Johnson of Ronda and a 58-point advantage over Papa Lee. Petty had a big assist from Papa in the race, as he was being challenged by Rex White of Spartanburg, South Carolina, on the 187th lap. Lee Petty, also fighting to get into the lead, bore in on White at the first turn, causing a near spin-out. With White momentarily falling back, the younger Petty built up a commanding lead. Rex White was setting a terrific pace in the grind with the younger Petty only a notch behind. I saw my chance when Rex began hitting that big bump in the first turn, Richard said, and decided to go in below him. That bump sure helped me. Only 7 cars out of a field of 21 were running at the end of the chase, as the rugged pace and choppy dirt track took a heavy toll. Richard Petty had posted a convertible win at Columbia, South Carolina last year, but had never been able to capture a hardtop event until Sunday's grind. Richard followed this win up 2 races later with his first win at Martinsville Speedway in the 1960 Virginia 500, the half-mile oval that was NASCAR's first paved track. The Martinsville Bulletin told readers the day after the race, young Richard Petty shot up through the pack midway of the Virginia 500 here yesterday and went on to outlast the other top drivers, including his father and other veterans, to win the annual race here before 12,000 spectators. This youngster, only 22, was not listed among the leaders on the scoreboard until almost 300 laps had been posted. Then he seemed to come from out of nowhere and take charge of the exciting proceedings. Although he lost first place for a few laps when Bobby Johns shot out in front, he quickly recovered the lead when Johns spun out and went on to nose out Jim Massey, the second-place finisher, by more than a full lap. Although Petty won without sweating it out in the final laps, his boosters were worried when he had to make a pit stop for gas with only 18 laps to go. His tank was quickly filled, and he was on his way without relinquishing first place. He was one of the few drivers that ever won a race here without a tire change. He stopped to refuel 3 times. Young Petty also jumped into first place in the NASCAR point standings as the result of his victory yesterday. Petty's third and final win of the year came in the 39th race of the season at Orange Speedway in Hillsboro, North Carolina. Petty started on the pole and led for 110 laps, winning over second place Ned Jarrett in his 1960 Ford by 1 lap. After having led the Grand National standings at different points during the season, Petty ended the season second in points behind Grand National champion Rex White. Along with his three wins, Petty recorded 16 top fives and 30 top tens. His total winnings for the season were $35,180, the equivalent of $305,417 in 2020. 1961 was not as successful a season for Petty. He failed to qualify for the Daytona 500 and won only two races that season, at Richmond and at a qualifier race for the World 600 in Charlotte. The Kannapolis Daily Independent wrote of his Richmond win in April. Richard Petty posted his first victory of the 1961 NASCAR late model racing season here Sunday, as he took the lead on the 18th lap and went on to a victory in the 100-mile Grand National event. Driving a 1960 Plymouth, Petty covered the 200-lap distance in an hour, 36 minutes and 4 seconds, for an average speed of 62.01 miles per hour on the half-mile dirt oval. Cotton Owens of Spartanburg, South Carolina, driving a 1960 Pontiac, finished second, one lap behind the leader. Petty took down top money of $1,100 for his performance. In addition to his two wins, Petty had 18 top fives and 23 top tens. But out of 42 starts, he failed to finish 19 races. He finished eighth in the final standings, behind that year's Grand National champion, Ned Jarrett. Such was the nature of the NASCAR points system of the time that Jarrett won the championship with only one victory in a race. That season was significant in the Petty family's racing history, as it proved to be the end of Lee's racing career. In the second race of the twin qualifying races for the 1961 Daytona 500, Petty suffered the worst accident of his career. Whitney Martin of the Associated Press wrote, "Daytona International Speedway officials were hoping fervently things would return to normal after a hectic and spine-chilling series of mishaps that left 17,500 Friday spectators limp with emotional exhaustion. Whatever happens today must be anticlimax to the two 100-mile late-model stock races Friday. The events left a veteran driver in serious condition in a hospital, left several others with cuts and bruises, and left